Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Second hour is here. We had John Talty on during the first hour talking about the Bowlesby retirement, what it means to OU in Texas. How about Gooch next in Oxford? Hello, Gooch.
Hey, Paul. I'm not really a Texas or Oklahoma fan. I just thought you being a Memphis guy and me from North Mississippi, I thought I found you the perfect cohort to come in and referee for you.
Yeah, well, I'm available for a price.
Well, call Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart and get him on your show.
We've had Jimmy Hart on this show before.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't even know he was around still.
Well, this was a couple of years ago. Yeah. He sent me one of those Mouth of the South bobbleheads, and I think we had him on.
Yeah, he was Disco Duck. Didn't he write that with Rick Dees back in the day?
I know Rick Dees did. I remember Rick Dees
was
a DJ. Who came up with the song Disco Duck, and he played it every 5 minutes, and they finally fired him. It went to number one, though. What else mattered?
Yeah. I mean, what was the radio station? What was
What was it?
56 AM, right?
Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, I mean, Rick ended up becoming just a mega star in L.A.
Oh, yeah. They had the dessert of the day for all the public schools.
Yeah.
And we would listen to that going to school
I remember
every
Rick.
Day because he would have the dessert of the day. You remember any of them?
Growing up, I mean, there were two DJs I remember. I remember him, and do you remember George Klein?
Oh, yeah. Of course everybody knows George.
George was a DJ in the afternoon, but he was one of Elvis's best friends. So he'd say, guy.
But he couldn't ignore.
He said, yeah, there's a rumor somebody may be having a concert on Saturday night. Yeah, and everybody knew who it was. But I don't know. So I think he died.
I think George has. But Rick Dees went on to L.A. and signed with KLA out there.
Right.
And became a super kind of like one of the other Casey Kasem kind of
right,
deal.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to say, you could get Jerry Hart to come on there and referee I-Man and all these other guys together.
Well, Gooch, hold the thought for a second, because we showed the I-Man picture. I mean, and by the way, we don't solicit this stuff. They send it to us. I-Man, you saw the other I-Man picture a few minutes ago. This is the new I-Man picture here. Okay, first, this is the new, and I realize people on radio, the only way I could describe this is if just vomit. I mean, how would you describe this? Okay, this is the mean, brooding I-Man that we're using. And the other picture, if we could flip back to that, this is just a guy who's stoned out of his mind, isn't it? Yeah, this is Nick Nolte when they picked him up for DUI. Hey, man, I was listening to Jerry Garcia, man. What's happening here, dude? He said, you want me to take a what? A breathalyzer? Hey, dude. you asked me I want to be in that. You want to put those cuffs on me? Yeah, sure, man. That is funny. I mean, can you imagine any woman man? Doesn't matter. I-Man, how could you send us this picture? Here's what we need to do, guys. We need to put that picture out on Twitter and just say, caption it. Yeah, I mean, can you? And we'll, why don't we do that? And we will put some of your tweets on the air the rest of the week. But I don't know how, because I am out of words, and that takes a lot for me to be speechless. Don is up next in Maryland. Hello, Don.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you something about that. We want to talk to you about something that hadn't come about yet. It involves Oklahoma and Texas.
Sure.
The conference have not decided what division they're going to be on, but online, more than one sports reporter is predicting Alabama will be moved to the east.
Let me stop you, okay?
Okay.
There, and I think you can take this to the bank, what I'm about to say. There are not going to be divisions.
Mercy.
There will be no divisions. It's too complex. And if you have divisions, then you will never see some of the teams and schools on the other side. So there will be it's still being debated. But one thing I'm pretty sure there won't be, the commissioner was on not long ago. He didn't say that, but he indicated that.
Okay. Well, my thought was why bother looking at the compass or the map? Just put one in the east and one in the west, and leave Alabama alone. If they had to figure out east and west, then they shouldn't be in the conference since they're in the southwest. Well. But you saw my problem. You're the man, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hate to jump. Don, it's uncertain. I think by the time we have the SEC meetings here in about 2 months, there'll be a little more clarity. They are working on a way, and here's the best thing I've heard, that you have every school has three permanent opponents. And that's when it gets tricky, because there's no easy, everyone's got to have one. Florida has to have Georgia, Alabama has to have Auburn, Texas.
Alabama's got to have Tennessee also.
No, they don't.
I was going to ask if you agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible, but I don't think I don't think these are guarantees, though. So this is something that we could debate all day long, because I don't think you can have more than one guarantee. Although, what do you do with Texas? They have to play A&M. Do they have to play Oklahoma too?
Well, college football is a lot of tradition there.
Yeah.
Surely they don't want to give that up.
But I really believe, though, Don, and I maybe answered too quickly, because it's possible maybe Alabama and Tennessee do play every year, but I will have my alumni card taken away for saying this, but I don't think that's really a very important rivalry anymore.
Oh, well, it isn't, because Tennessee's been down. But let's face it, everybody's not always. I remember when Alabama was down.
Yeah, but
Nick Saban wouldn't be at Alabama unless they'd been down.
No, but Don, that thing has been so long since it's been a serious rivalry that, you know, and thanks for the call. I mean, if you look at Alabama's schedule every year, what are the critical games? It's Auburn, LSU, now Texas A&M. The Tennessee game just keeps getting moved farther and farther down the list. I mean, they may end up playing. I don't know. I've heard some models. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we move throughout the year. JK is up next.
What's up, fine, Bob? You all right today?
I am doing great. What about you?
Hey, I just heard the last caller talk about Oklahoma and Texas being put in divisions, and we all know why. Well, the non-Bama fans and the brand name, non-brand name teams, fans, we know why they're not going to put them in division. They're doing that to protect certain teams. They're doing it to protect their bell cow. Why wouldn't they put them in the East or the West? It's just one more team in each division. I don't understand it, but I do understand it. They're doing it to protect a certain team, and we all know it. That's why Alabama's not going to play Oklahoma until 2032, but they're playing Texas this year. This is no surprise to me, Paul, and I know it's not a surprise to you. Don't get quiet on me. Talk to me.
JK, I'm thinking before I speak, because I want to make it clear that you're wrong.
Okay, explain why.
because there aren't going to be divisions. Therefore, the plan I have heard discussed will have every school playing every other one at least every 2 years.
So why, if they're putting Oklahoma and Texas in, why isn't Oklahoma on Bama's schedule until 2032? They're in there because they want to see.
Where do you get this 2032?
I looked at future schedules. It's easy to find.
What you're looking at, JK, is Oklahoma being on Alabama's schedule as a non-conference game.
No. I'm speaking of joining the SEC.
No. Well, let me assure you, there are no schedules beyond the next couple of years.
But my point is, Paul, why wouldn't they put one team in the East and one team in the West? They didn't have that problem
I guess I'll just keep saying this, and maybe somebody will hear it, but there are not going to be divisions, so you don't need to put one in the East and one in the West. They want to do it differently because they want to make sure that everyone plays everyone else. And under the current plan, you saw Alabama play Florida this year in Gainesville. That was the first time they had met since 2011. You can't have that in a league, so you have to come up with a better way to do it.
Hey, Paul, I know that's your story, and you got to stick to it.
But look, JK, that is not my story. Those are absolute facts. You're the one making up stuff out of pure cloth. I mean, you don't know what you're talking about.
Paul, just take a second, take a deep breath, and listen to me. Now, I don't know if you're taking direct payments or if you got an NIL deal from Alabama, but this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the week schedule
taking direct payments
that Alabama put together every single year. Now, if you want a competitive game for the mighty Crimson Tide, why is Austin Peay, Utah State, Vanderbilt, and ULM on the schedule? You can replace those teams easily with Oklahoma or Clemson, or a regular season Georgia game.
JK,
nobody wants to see.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, if I could. You live in Alabama, right?
Yes, sir.
And you have access to the internet. You're able to keep up with what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you know what you just got through saying is absurd, because you know what Alabama's non-conference schedule has been like since 2007. I can go through it by heart, or I can look it up. But you know in 07 when Saban got there, they played Florida State. You know in 08 they played Clemson. You know they played Michigan and Southern Cal. They have played as good a non-conference opponent as you can find. Almost every year.
But Paul, this is what we're talking about.
They're playing at this coming season. They're playing at Texas,
and they're also and ULM, Utah State, and Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt is part of the SEC rotations. You cannot blame Alabama for any conference game they play. That is set in stone. So that you're just again you're creating a red herring there that is untrue.
I can't argue with you, JK, but you're wrong.
I mean, I'd love to give you a chance to prove that you're right, but you can't because you're wrong.
Okay. Hey, Paul, let me say this before I go, because I know other calls want to get in.
And by the way, can I ask you one question? I know we have JK on the screen. What's your other moniker? What do you call yourself?
Bama hater.
No further questions. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And it has been about 24 hours since the news broke that Bob Bowlesby, the longtime commissioner of the Big 12, the senior member of the Power Five commissioners, was stepping down. There has been a lot of speculation about what happens next and also how does it affect the CFP and the OU Texas move. Heather Dinich, on top of it all, writing about it today in ESPN and also visiting with the retiring commissioner. Heather, thank you for joining us. Tell us what you know and what you've been told about what happens, what happened to Bowlesby and why now, first of all.
Well, I spoke with him last night, Paul, and he talked about how he had a very candid and honest conversation with the leaders of the league and just how stressful the past 2 years have been. And he pointed specifically to navigating the league through the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic and also, obviously, conference realignment with Big 12 co-founders OU and Texas leaving, and just how difficult it was to stabilize the league, how quickly it all happened, and that certainly took its toll. And he told me, you know, he turned 70 in January and he knew he had 3 years left on his contract, and he told me he did not want to extend that contract, but it was obvious that, you know, the presidents and chancellors in the league knew at some point, he would be looking for an off-ramp. And so they decided together, he said it was mutual and collaborative, that they're going to look for somebody else who could have a little longer runway, is how he described it.
Hmm. Everything's with off-ramps these days, isn't it? except the CFP making progress. So what does it mean? Let's start with the CFP. You deal with that almost probably more than you really want. He was part of that four-person working group that we thought had the plan and then didn't. He will be replaced, obviously. So what does his absence mean, if anything?
Well, it is significant because, as we've talked about before, Paul, the new faces in the Power Five, with Kevin Warren in the Big Ten, Jim Phillips in the ACC, George Kliavkoff in the Pac-12, three of the five, that has had a significant impact on college football playoff expansion discussion. And now you're adding another new face to the mix. But the CFP Management Committee, which is the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, are having their annual spring meeting later this month in Irving, Texas. Bowlesby said he's going to be there. But when it comes to these longer term issues like playoff expansion, NIL, you name it, he's not really going to be a big participant in those conversations because he's not going to be there long term, obviously. And he might not have the same feelings as the next person who takes that job. So I don't expect a lot of conversation around playoff expansion at that spring meeting. I think it's going to be a typical mundane meeting, to be honest, with budgets and reviews and all of those types of things that fans aren't really interested in. But he said that he thinks it's going to be probably another year until playoff expansion talks really heat up again. And Bill Hancock, the CFP executive director, just texted me before this and confirmed that that timeline is probably right.
So 10 months ago, we were on the verge of a 12-team playoff, maybe as early as 2 years from now. And now we are a year away from re-engaging in the conversation. I mean, that is baffling. We all know that's the way it is, but it's still incredible to think about, isn't it?
It really is. And the momentum that was there when they I was at that meeting, Paul, in Dallas, the very first time when the presidents and chancellors who comprise the board for the CFP walked out of that meeting. And it was like, yeah, this is great. Everybody's behind it. And then you had expansion and the Supreme Court decision. And it was that summer that everything just kind of unfolded. And, you know, certainly there was no greater bombshell in college athletics than the decision of OU and Texas to go to the SEC. So all of those things, I mean, look, that was a stressful time for every single commissioner, but particularly for Bowlesby, given the fact that they were the league's co-founders and having to piece together the puzzle and put it back together. But, you know, I get the sense that, well, you're never going to replace those brand names and those identities and the history that those programs bring. There is a real sense of the people who are now joining the Big 12 in the future and are going to be that league, they're together. They're in it. Hey, everybody who's here wants to be here type of thing. So he did talk about the league being in a good place in that regard as far as moving forward in the future.
Heather, I've seen, I think, 25 or 30 names mentioned for this job. I realize some of that is positioning. Some are representatives pushing people that probably don't even want to be pushed and don't even want to consider it. But realistically, is there a best guess on what type of person they are going to look at to replace Bowlesby?
Yes, I can give you a best guess as the type of person. And that's based on talking to some league sources this week. As a matter of fact, I spoke with somebody this morning in the Big 12 who guessed that, one, it should be somebody who could certainly build relationships, not only with the other Power Five conference commissioners, but also TV partners, whatever it might be, whether it's streaming, digital, can they navigate through that? But also somebody who can build a strong staff in the league office. Doesn't have to be a media savvy person. That's what consultants are for. I don't think they're going to hire somebody media savvy, business minded like a George Kliavkov in the Pac-12. I'm told that it's probably unlikely, not impossible, it's going to be an athletic director from the league. We saw a Baylor athletic director, Mac Rhodes, just lock up a 10-year contract. So, you know, he would probably be at the top of the list in terms of athletic director candidates. So this person has to have a grasp on higher learning, really, because they have to understand the impacts of name, image, and likeness and all of those other heavy-hitting issues that they're facing right now. How does that impact the campus and the athletic department? So to me, I think you're looking at some type of a university president or somebody like that. I do think, like I said, the odds are slim it's going to be an athletic director, but not impossible.
Well, let's throw a few more out there. Heather, thank you. It's really an important thing, not only with the OU-Texas situation, but TV contracts and obviously the CFP. When is this next meeting and where is it so we can all maybe book ourselves a suite since nothing is going to be going on?
I want to say April 28th, 29th, somewhere around there in Irving, Texas. They will be at, I want to say, the Sheraton down there. I'll be lurking in the lobby.
You handle it. I think I've got some spring cleaning to do that weekend. Heather.
I got you, man.
Heather Dennitz joining us. Always great to have Heather on. Once I found that it was in Irving, Texas, for those who don't know, that is right outside of Dallas. Dallas in late April, thank you. I'll pass. We are coming back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. Let's check in with Ronnie, who is up next. Hello, Ronnie.
Yeah, Paul, first time a caller. I haven't heard, about the commissioner saying there not going to be any divisions in the Southeast Conference. But my suggestion, if it's not written in stone, my suggestion is let Texas and Oklahoma go to the West Division. Let Auburn go to the East Division. Play a nine-man schedule, a nine-team Southeast Conference schedule, and rotate two teams every year so you can play the ones in the other division.
Thank you very much for your call. Let's check in with Tyler, who is up next. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Been listening since the SEC Network started. This is my first time calling in. I'm fortunate enough to meet you back in 17 when I was a student, and anybody really wants to meet Paul, like he says, go to his show on Friday. He'll more than likely come down and take a picture and have a conversation with you.
Thank you.
Same time I met Tim Tebow. Yes, yes, sir. But, yeah, my point, you just said earlier that Tennessee and Alabama don't have to play. Well, Auburn and Alabama do. Georgia and Auburn are pretty close, and, Florida has to play Georgia, and Florida used to have a rivalry with Auburn, so that'd be kind of a crazy situation. And, I don't see any other kind of possible situation. And can I ask one more thing?
Of course. What happened
to Lance from Tennessee? And I'll hang up and I'll call back and
yeah, thanks, Tyler. I appreciate you saying hello. Lance from Tennessee disappeared. I don't know what happened. We heard from his sister a couple years later, but we have not heard from him probably four or five Florida coaches ago. Let's continue. Matthew is in Texas. Matthew, you are on the air.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, my wife and I, we have four children, ages 10 all the way down to 5. And there's, Bama fanatics, sports fanatics. And I'm really frustrated with the NCAA for multiple reasons. But, Monday night, our kids couldn't watch the game. I mean, they have got scouts, they have church, and then the college football playoff Monday night, it was late. And they just can't do it. They can't. And they missed a phenomenal game, an epic moment on Monday night. And I'm thinking about when I was a child, I got to watch those games with my dad, my family. And I don't understand what the point is. They say they want stronger viewership. They say they want more fans, but they're killing themselves. And then you got the NFL that they know how to do it. They have an early start time in the Super Bowl. It's an all-day affair. Families can, hang out all day and prepare for it. And I just don't get it.
And Matthew, I agree with you on one hand. And I remember as a kid wanting to stay up late to watch the important games and doing so with forgiving parents. However, that game was pretty good compared to college football. I remember a college football national championship game that didn't end until about 12:30 Eastern time. Now, here is the television angle, if I could share it with you. You're in Texas, so you're in the central time zone. So you're not as affected. The people on the East Coast have it the worst because the games end very late. That game on the East Coast did not start until 9:20. Now, think about this for a second. It's 9:20 in New York. It's 6:20 in L.A. So there are a lot of people on the West Coast, and I don't think that's the only reason, but you're trying to maximize the viewership, and usually the highest ratings of any sporting event is in the final 10, 15 minutes, and I'm sure in that game's case it was as well. But the Super Bowl has mastered it. The Super Bowl starts at 6:30 on a Sunday night. It's usually over by 9:30 in the East, 8:30, 7:30 across the country, and it's hard. You have to, be up there, not to be able to make it to 9:30.
Well, you gave me some good things to think about. I appreciate it, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah. No. I when I was a kid, which was 100 years ago, the World Series were games were in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing in the world, was the World Series. My mother let me stay home one year to watch the first game of the World Series because my favorite team was in it. Nowadays, the World Series games, they could go on, and they do. I remember I used to work at a local TV station, and we came on after it was a Fox affiliate, and we came on after the World. We had a sports show on Sunday night, and it would come on after the Saturday night, Sunday night. It would come on after the local news, which is 30 minutes. We were there one Saturday night. I'll never forget that we went off the air at 5 minutes till three. It was an extra inning playoff game, but that's just the way it is. And you know, baseball is the least controlled game because you don't know if it's going to end in 3 hours, 4 hours, or 5 hours. Usually, college football games are 4 hours, four and a half. Super NFL, three, NBA, depending on whether LeBron's in it or not. Let's continue with Randy, who is up next. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Bo, how are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on Georgia's schedule and their expectations this year.
Well, Randy, the expectations are very high. Georgia will be the pick to win. They'll be picked to win the East. The schedule is interesting. Oregon, tricky game to begin with. Dan Lanning, the new head coach, you know the backstory there. He was at Georgia last year. South Carolina on the road at Missouri. Those are tricky games. But I don't. I think it's those last two conference games to me are the real tricky ones. At Mississippi State in November, and then the next week is the one I've got circled at Kentucky. I think that's the one game that Georgia needs to be very careful about. Thank you for the call. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome all of you back, and Jim is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jim.
Hello. How's it going so far, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
I got another bone I want to pick with you. The NCAA and the universities have to decide if they want to be universities or the NFL or NBA cash cow farm clubs.
Right.
And if they did that, the other way they'd have to do it, and I have got a better chance of being named the Big 12 chancellor than this happening, is that if you sign with Georgia or Alabama or wherever, Vanderbilt, you're theirs for 4 years. I don't care if you walk outside the back door and have one leg and one arm cut off, you're still guaranteed 4 years of college, and that can't happen.
Well, Jim, I appreciate your thoughts, but let me push back and say that you're infringing on, first of all, their rights. And right now, the NFL pretty much controls it, and the NFL stipulates that you can come into pro ball at the end of your third season. So you can't force somebody to do that, and we have moved past what you're suggesting, and you know the NIL, which I'm sure I'm sensing you don't care for. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is an amalgamation of state laws. If you're in Georgia right now, what's happening at UGA is dictated by the state legislature there. It's not dictated by me or you. They passed the NIL legislation, and that's what the schools follow, and that's how and the NIL legislation is self-evident. It's name, image, and likeness of an individual, not anything more or less.
Well, that has to be, because the kids have been making the universities billions and getting nothing court, basically, except exposure.
Well, the, they've been getting the opportunity. Now, I don't think when you went to school and I went to school, it was a big deal to get a scholarship and room and board.
When I went to school, you were still in Pampers, or maybe not even the gleam in your dad's eye.
Well, I don't know. I think you had that gleam for a long time, but. But Jim, I appreciate where you're coming from. And I have a lot of friends who feel the same way, but I also talk to these athletes all the time when we're visiting campuses or here, and they don't see it the same way. I thought I came from a generation where it was all about us, but every generation since then has had the same thought. It's all about me. And right now, this is their moment. This is their time, and they want to get paid for it, and they are getting paid for it. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Eric is up next in Georgia. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Paul. Interesting topic today, SEC scheduling for the future.
Right.
Now, there's no way they're going to have divisions. You're right. They're going to have the four pods. Right?
I would say it's 96.3%.
All right. Now, the logical thing to do would be to keep divisions, move Alabama and Auburn
right.
to the east, put Missouri in the west. It's simple, clean, and workable. It won't happen. And the reason why is because the SEC doesn't want to play each other. Historically,
well,
they
right.
got
now,
each other.
Come on, you've just nailed something there. I once asked a person privately, I said, why are you against nine games? And he said, you don't know? And I said, no. He said, that's one more loss for half the schools.
Well, let me tell you how deeply this goes. For most of the 20th century, they only played six SEC opponents.
You're right.
And then they could get four patsies. But it got even worse. They get to schedule the coaches – got to make their own schedules, and if you didn't have six SEC opponents, you could bring in another, you could designate another game as being an SEC game. That's why Tulane was on everybody's schedule. It was like they were still in the SEC,
right?
Because it was a patsy, and it was a win inside the conference. Now, when they started to add the extra teams, the pressure built on them to have more SEC games. When they met the last time, the way they got to eight games was everybody in the room wanted to keep it at six, but there was one man in the room, the only man in the room, and he said, I want to play eight. That man's name was Pat Dye. So he held his ground, and they said, well, how about if we go up to seven? He said, no, eight. And so they said, and he said, not only do I want to play eight, I want to play Georgia and Florida and Tennessee every year.
Right.
So they knew they were dealing with a man who wanted to play real SEC football games. And they said, well, how about eight? And then they went to this division thing, and you could duck still playing teams like that all the time. Now, the only issue left and the only stumbling block that's going to be in these pods is they're going to argue about, no, I don't, LSU doesn't want to play Florida. They've already said that.
Yeah, Eric, so, I've heard some of the conversations privately, and we'll hear more about them soon. There's some fierce conversations, and I'm just giving you an opinion here based on what I hear, but there's a dividing line in the SEC right now between the have and the have-nots, and there's no certainty we're going to get a resolution on this anytime soon. Of course, we don't have to, but at some point this has to be resolved, and there are certain schools, and you can guess which ones, who are going to come out on the short end.
Well, absolutely, and this, to give you an idea of how bad it was in the old days, why they were playing the six games, they were talking about picking two natural rivals.
Right.
Vince Dooley, he picked Vanderbilt and Mississippi for his two rivals. So that gave you an idea of letting these people choose who they want to play.
Well, yeah, Eric, I appreciate very much your call. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the hour, but it is a fierce debate right now. And we ask every athletic director that comes on, and we usually get the same response, because nobody really wants to go public about this. It will eventually spill over. There'll be a lot of good reporting on this coming at the end of May, but it's a topic. It's one of the biggest topics going right now. We are going to take a break. More to come. We have 2 hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.